Hi, this is Fabi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
And we are
Latinos Who Lunch,
the podcast where we talk about important things like...
Me dijeron cuando llegué que estaba muy angelical. Por eso no traigo calzones.
Hello, hello, hello.
Que show.
How are you, Babalekis?
I'm sweating, and I had, like, no t-shirt, but you made me put it on.
Yeah, so I felt very uncomfortable having you without a shirt Skyping me. What the fuck is your problem?
Dude, global warming is real. It's fucking burning in
no,
LA.
No, bitch, you're in LA. That's what it is, global warming.
I know.
You're in a fucking desert.
It's so hot, but... Anyway, I'm very excited. I'm about to leave the United States for a little bit. So
where are you going?
I'm going to Puebla to give my yearly seminar on... Well, this year's theme in this artist residency, it's color. So there's going to be three scholars just talking about color, from everything from pigments to, like, pigmentocracy. So it's going to be pretty exciting.
Wow. Who are you talking to?
I am talking to a couple, it's going to be like a group of 15 artists from all over the world, including Puebla. So I'm going to do three lectures, one on indigenous murals, one on colonial murals, and the third one is actually going to be classes around Puebla. So we're going to go to 16th century monasteries, we're going to see a 17th century mural in La Casa del Dean, which was the house of this rich priest and has some of the craziest murals you've ever seen. So it's gonna be good. I just need to prepare.
So I need art to history right now.
Y tú, yeah. Qué rollo, güey? You've been traveling nonstop, huh?
Dude, okay. So we were just at Los Angeles Latino International Film Festival.
That's right.
And then I had to fly right back to Portland, Maine. I'm here. I'm the artist in resident at this organization called Space.
Mm-hmm.
But my plane could not land in JFK to get the connection yesterday. So I was stuck in Connecticut. Dios and there's nothing mia. In Connecticut. So then they flew us back to JFK. Anyway, shout out to my friend Autumn. I stayed with her in Queens and I got a flight in the morning. So I'm here now. I'm good. I'm in Portland, Maine. And I'm actually recording this in the bathroom right now from my residency because there is a drama happening right outside of my window where I usually record.
Okay. Before you tell me all the drama that I know what it is, but I can't wait to hear the details.
What?
What did you eat? Like, you spent a whole day in the... Like, that's a good question. What do you eat when you're all day traveling?
Yeah, just good, like... job. Good question. What did I eat? Nothing, bitch. What do you eat at the airport?
I don't know, man. You're vegetarian now, so you're like... Your options in an airport are limited.
I had a smoothie from this... And I'm also allergic to bananas, okay?
That's
so.
Shit, that's
there's
right.
Usually one smoothie place that has smoothie without bananas. So it's like wild berry smoothie with goji berries and all this other shit that's ruining South America in it. And then... what else? And then on the plane, I had lunch. They had a veggie wrap. And then that's it. And then I just fucking ate like French fries and nuts, whatever the fuck they had at the airport, you know?
Damn, this is the least appetizing food talk of Latinos Who Lunch ever.
Yeah, how about you over there in LA?
Girl, you know it's LA, so I had Korean Mexican lunch. So I had bulgogi tacos and
bulgogi.
Then I had bulgogi tacos and I had a plate with tofu and noodles and rice and very satisfying. A lot of meat.
Hey, you know what?
No me digas.
Fuck you. Oh my God. Well, you know, okay, so let me tell you about this drama, bitch.
Okay,
this drama conflama. So It's seriously stressing me out, okay? Like, I'm not even joking.
So, I mean, I believe you.
Last week, I noticed that I had some neighbors outside. This is real chisme right here, okay?
Okay.
And the neighbors, they're really loud. And I was like, yo, like, they're kind of waking me up in the morning. Like, they're like arguing really loud outside my window. And then I saw that they had three little kids. And I'm like, oh my God, they're like so loud. And their kids are hella loud. I'm like, this is just bad parenting. And then a couple days before I went to LA, one of the kids fell from the nest. Oh, by the way, these are seagulls I'm talking about. So
Oh
one of the seagulls fell, the baby chicks
my God.
fell into, there's like a outdoor, like I'm on the roof basically of this building, but there's like these skylights right outside of my window, so there's really no access because they don't want you to fall through. And the chick is stuck in there and it's not big enough to like jump out yet. So I did my Googles. Because this chick just, that's why I'm recording in the bathroom. Because if I was in my studio, you could hear the bird squawking,
Dude,
and then the ch
seagulls
and
are
then the
fucking loud.
so fucking loud. So, okay. So I'm like, I have to help this thing. Like that was my immediate reaction. You know, I'm a Cancer. So I was like, I went downstairs. There, I am in the prime. You know what? Shout out. You know what? I'm gonna give a shout out to this residency because it's one of the best residencies I've ever done. Visit them.
Yay.
It's called Space. Pablito will put a link to the website on our website. But we're Space is wedged in between the main College of Art and a department store slash, you know, it's like, you remember like Pick and Save when we were little? Like Big Lots, McFrugal's? Okay, there's one of the Remember McFrugal's, bitch? Okay, there's one right next door. It's called Rennie's here. And you can get anything you want. And so I went over there and I'm like, I'm gonna get all these kinds of fish because there's all these canned fish. And I'm gonna
You're like a
feed this.
seagull saving kid.
I'm like, I'm gonna save this bird, right? And then I go outside onto the porch because I have a balcony. And then I'm like, oh, I'm gonna go around and I'm gonna like put this tin can of sardines by the bird, and as
Estúpida.
soon as I don't even open the window, bitch. As soon as I like open the curtains to put the thing out, the seagulls, the dad. You know what? It's not a dad. That bird has two lesbian mother birds because those lesbian seagulls, bitch. They are so protective. It flew at me. And like squawked and like floated in front of the window, like, don't
No.
fuck with my kid. You know what I mean?
Oh my God.
Yeah. This is like a Rosie O'Donnell lesbian, like one of those that like doesn't use sunscreen and is like there to protect their children.
Yes.
So the bird's been out there, and today, and I'm like, and okay, so then I did my Googles, and I'm
Yes.
like, okay, this bird's gonna kill me if I go outside. Because, okay, first of all, this bird is the size of a fucking dog, okay? Like, I had no idea how huge seagulls could get. Like, it's scary. And every time I see it perched up next to my window, it's got like blood dripping from its beak because it just like skewered a fish. Like, these ain't no Santa Monica Pier seagulls. This ain't no Fisherman's Wharf. Like, I don't eat fried food seagulls. These seagulls, like, really are hunters and they like eat fish out here. You know what I'm
The
saying?
struggle is real, yes.
Oh, it ain't struggle, bitch. Their feathers are so shiny. They are getting their fish oil every day. But today, okay, so I Googled and it said, yeah, if the bird is within a close distance of the nest, you shouldn't fuck with it because the parents will keep feeding it. And I just wasn't sure of it because I hadn't seen the parents feed it. But today I got the confirmation.
Así se le
The
meten en la boca, güey,
no,
todo hecho.
bitch. The biggest seagull showed up, landed right next to this baby chick, and just started throwing up like in front of it, and just threw up all these dead fish right outside my window. And then the bird just started eating, and then when it got full, the bird, the seagull, the parent just ate the rest of it. Anyway,
Oh my God.
but it just stresses me out because you can hear the chick like all night long, like crying to get back up on the
And you don't sleep with earplugs.
And I can't sleep with earplugs, and seagulls don't have thumbs, so they can't just like grab the baby, you know, and go up into the nest. So,
Do you sleep with headphones, like just listen to music?
yeah, but I have to take them out to like actually fall asleep. Like, I can get sleepy, you know? Anyway,
Well,
that's what's happening. And I'm trying to time it because I've noticed that sometimes that both of them are gone, the parents are gone,
yeah.
but I don't want to get killed by a seagull. That would be so embarrassing. So, because I want to,
Doubt you
I'm
can get killed
devising
by
to
a
build a like
seagull.
to build a ramp for the baby chick,
Yeah.
but I just can't. I don't think I can get out there fast enough without getting
Killed.
my face cut open. Yeah,
Well,
that's too much.
I'm dealing with noise here too.
Yeah.
I'm in my boyfriend's bedroom, so I have like a little blanket fort built, but this is Boyle Heights, man. So there's it's like I'm in Oaxaca. So I was we woke up
How
early.
authentico.
Dude, you don't even know. Like I woke up at like when Mexico played 2 weeks ago, I woke up to the sound of goal because all the neighbors were watching the game at the same time. And when they actually won, you hear the fireworks everywhere. And that's exactly what happened. Every time you don't even have to watch the game. All you have to do is open your window over here, and if you hear like 10 fireworks going at the same time, that means that Mexico scored a goal. So you can imagine when they won against Alemania and then South Korea. It was crazy. So I don't engage with symbols of the nation, but the World Cup, it's my guilty pleasure. I fucking love it. I go crazy. I get anxious. I get diarrhea. And I watch every single game of it. So I haven't been able to do any work down because I saw Ecuador win, Colombia win. And again, if you don't have a TV or cable or YouTube Live, it doesn't matter because here in fucking Boyle Heights, there's live scores in the air with these fireworks. It's like Oaxaca, man. Like there's just fireworks all the time. So if you hear fireworks or perros ladrando, it's not my fault. It's the neighborhood.
Sports, stunning. Okay, speaking of Boyle Heights,
Yes.
so this past weekend, some of our listeners were there. Shout out to you guys. Oh, shout out to Sonia and Alfred that came out with us after the talk.
Yes.
They're gonna have a podcast soon, so that's gonna be exciting to listen to.
Yes.
But we were at the Chinese Theater, the TCL Chinese Theater on Hollywood Boulevard, and at La Leaf. What are your thoughts? That was crazy.
It was
That was
so
cool.
weird, like red carpet and shit, like Edward James Olmos, like we got to shake his hand.
I call him Eddie. Yeah.
That was so crazy, man. Like it was strange for me because it's just like it's an alternative universe, the one that
Dude, you
Hollywood
look like
people
you're
live.
gonna shit yourself when you walked in.
It always happens to me, like before any presentation, all my insecurities rush through, and right before we start, it all goes away. I don't know what it is. It happens to me before I presented in the first time I presented in Mexico City for UNAM. I went to my hotel room. I fell asleep. I cried. Woke up. Came back to the museum. I saw my dad coming in, and all went out. So now every time I get nervous about a presentation, all I have to do is imagine my dad in the audience, and I breathe. Like
Oh my God.
it's so crazy. Like, and you know, like Kirsten, shout out Kirsten. She's the one who told me that. She goes, every time you have these feelings, just remember where you come from. So that was what happening. When I saw you, I was just like, what the fuck is going on? What's happening? And then I saw Edward James Olmos, and I'm like, fuck, like this is an institution. This is not an actor. This is a fucking institution, which is too different, right? We shook his head, I think I was not as shook anymore. And it was fine. Like, it was a great experience, but
I couldn't talk to him. I was like, you talk to him because I don't know what to say.
Yeah, like you
They.
saw, I was like, oh, you watched the game. Yeah, because he was wearing a Mexico jersey. Like, again,
Yeah.
once I start, it's fine, but there's something about right before starting. It happens in presentations and like for Latinos who launch. Remember in Mica, I was freaking out backstage. And once we got on stage, cruzo las piernas, payasa, y se me pasan las cosas. It's my security blanket, bitch.
Well, I like to sit like a mediocre white man with my legs wide open. So,
man spreading.
No, I'm just kidding.
But tell everybody why we were there.
Well, we were there because thanks to La Leaf and Podcasterio Network. Shout out to Luz.
Shout out to Linda Garcia, who recommended Locatora Radio and Latinos Who Lunch to be part of this panel.
And shout out to Rafa, the organizer of the festival. They wanted to have an event that centered around the new television program called Vida. And if you guys haven't seen Vida, well, we already told you to watch the whole thing, the last episode, so get on it.
It's only 3 hours total. Like, you can do it. You can binge watch. Yeah,
there's only season one is only 6 episodes. They're about 30 minutes long each. It's a drama based in Boyle Heights that centers around women and also queer women, which is really great to see. All Latinx, all white Latinx. We didn't talk about that. But, yeah, and it's in Boyle Heights. And it centers around gentrification, mobily upward Latinos that come back and invest in their own communities and are actually part of the gentrification. And it's like about chipsters. It's a super, super multi-layered show. I really love it.
So I watch it and I was like, I was ready to hate because, you know, like that's what I do. But I didn't hate it. I actually really, there's a couple things here and there because, you know, like it's impossible to get a perfect show. But I actually really enjoyed it. I was very invested with the character development. There's a lot of things about Boyle Heights that were very interesting to see. There's a lot of unrealistic things that I saw as well. But overall, I cannot recommend it enough. So we had the opportunity to actually had the creator, Tania Saracho, along with four of the characters, the cast.
Yeah. Michelle Prada, who plays Emma, was there. Melissa Barrera was there, who plays Lynn. Ser Anzuategui was there, who plays Eddie. And Maria Elena Laas, who plays Cruz, was there.
Girl, I couldn't recognize Cruz. She started talking to us, and I'm like, who is this girl? And then later I figured out who she was. I was like, oh my God, she looked completely different. It's so crazy. It's so good. So what do you think of the show?
The TV show or our presentation?
Both, but first the TV show.
I like it because, like I said on the podcast, I love that there is a queer character in the show. They identify as lesbian on the show, and they are not the villain of the show.
Yes.
They are actually the heart of the show. And that and it's one of the first times that I've seen a multidimensional lesbian character. Because even in, like, Orange is the New Black, like,
todas están enojadas, todas.
A lot of them are kind of one note, you know? Yeah. But just to see Eddie's character develop through the season, just in those 6 episodes, was really amazing. And then everybody else has their secrets, you know, like, and I'm so excited for season 2 to like find out what happens with everybody, because it kind of left on a cliffhanger, you know,
in a good way. And it's one of the things that you mentioned in the panel, that the strength of Eddie is so many different things, including food, including getting together through food, as opposed to just being like the token angry lesbian. In fact, she was the opposite. She was the one who's putting everything together, who's bringing the community together through the bar that they're trying to preserve, the new family that is being created through the show. Yeah. And yes, everybody's character is sexually active in a very, I don't want to say different way, but it's different from what we've seen for Latino characters in television. It's not like la típica chichona nalgona, like walking around and like, no, like it's actually very, very more, it's more nuanced, all of those characters. And I love that.
Yeah. And the sex scenes aren't like gratuitous sex scenes for no reason.
No.
Like, this ain't no Lena Dunham production. Okay. Oh, so shit. Like, every time there's a sex scene, it's part of the story. It like tells you something about that character. I felt like when I saw the sex scene between Emma and Cruz, like to see Emma that vulnerable, because she's such a fucking badass, you know, like, and has this wall in front of her.
Yeah.
To see that scene was really important, You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And even the stuff with like Johnny and Lynn, that novella that's happening in the background.
Yeah.
It's very real. That shit happens, you know? I mean, I've never had sex on stairs in a basement before, but hey. Boyle Heights, baby, it brings it out in people, okay?
And that was one of the things that I wanted to ask, but there was no question. I'm glad one of our audience members, which I saw later outside of the theater, and I thank him for his question.
What was the question?
Because I wanted to ask about, I mean, this is a very highly politicized neighborhood. And a lot of things that are happening around the world are centered here in what's happening in Boyle Heights, more specifically on gentrification. And it seems like, in terms of that, everybody's paying attention to Boyle Heights. And La Locatora started to ask that question, and they actually thanked them for featuring a lot of artists and cultural makers from Boyle Heights. But this kid, he asked a question, and he said, "You're not from Boyle Heights. You're from Chicago. Like, what are your connections to the people of Boyle Heights?" And I feel like she answered in a very fair way, because she said, "Yes, I'm not from Boyle Heights, but I come from a community in Chicago that is going through the same problems." Mm-hmm. And I think at the end, that's what's important about the show, right? That we have a show that represents a lot of Latinx communities around the country that are going through this violent gentrification. I mean, we had a whole series of episodes on Austin, and exactly the same thing is happening in Austin as is happening here in Boyle Heights, as is happening in Pilsen in Chicago, you know? And it's interesting that you have a show that is dealing with that, but at the same time, centering on Latinx characters without necessarily using the same old tiring tropes of Latino people, you know? I mean, I don't know. I really like it.
Some of them are still there, but it's like, it's real. Yeah. Right. Like, we all love Selena. Like, duh.
Hello.
So you can't hide that, you know what I mean? But it's like, I liked it. They talked about the use of flan in the show too.
Mm-hmm.
So, oh, by the way, we didn't do spoiler alerts. So, like, if you haven't watched the show, I guess we're not giving away the storyline.
No, we're giving the storyline.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, and there's also, there's a lot of food in the show. And then there's also, spirituality is represented in many different ways. Of course, mm-hmm. Catholicism, Christianity. But then also there's this scene where, like, Olympia happens. And it's just interesting to see that, because I've seen that happen before.
My family goes to Juarez to get those fucking leaders. Yeah. Like, this shit happens, you know?
I know. But you know what I like about that is it's, like, showing... So we know what that looks like, and we know what that is. Remember when Valentina was on Drag Race?
Yes.
And she had a candle to the Virgen María.
Y luego tocaron la
cucaracha. La Virgen de Guadalupe. Uh-huh. Yeah. And whenever she would pray to the Virgen de Guadalupe, they would play like ta-da-da, 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 ta-da, in the background. Like, it was stupid. Like, it was funny.
Yeah. Like, when it was like a fucking Gonzalez.
Yeah. But it was a real fucking thing. You know what I mean? So I'm glad that they're incorporating that into the shows. Because even I know... I mean, look at like my cousin Joely, right? Who has shout out mm-hmm. to La Llave podcast. Like, she doesn't go to church every day, but she does. She is spiritual. She believes in a higher power, and she sometimes goes through those rituals.
Yeah,
because they're just that. They're a way for you to slow down and to meditate and to focus on yourself. You know what I mean?
And this and this scene reminded me of Morado Lens, because, you know, for a long time, we were trying to wrap around our heads with this whole new concept. Not concept, but like this whole idea of brujequis, right? Like the brujas.
Yeah.
And ultimately, everything that we know that we learned through school is based on like 2-3 countries by white dudes in Europe. So the fact that you have this sort of more holistic practices, call them brujas, call them whatever, they are real and they're happening and there's a value to them. And I mean, you don't have to believe it, but the reality is that this sort of practices have been happening for thousands of years. So it's unfortunate that a lot of people are going to look at that show, are going to look at that scene in the show and further exoticize our communities. But if you're watching the show from our communities, if you're Latinx, you understand that this is the shit that happens. And ultimately, that show is for us. So fuck everybody who's using this as an excuse to further exoticize us, you know?
Truly.
So those are the positive things. But do you have any criticism for the show?
I feel like I've been being critical and positive at the same time.
Okay.
A question that I asked that I think maybe rubbed people the wrong way was the idea of like Latinos playing Latinos that they are not. So like, for example, like a South American playing a Mexican, like you can tell when they speak Spanish that they're actually not that kind of Latino, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then I went to give an example of like also queer people not playing queer people. And I think I should have phrased it different and said like, you know, there's a lot of talk, especially when it's a trans character. Look at shows like Transparent, or that movie Trans America, you know, like the lead characters were both cis people, and you know, it's all the background characters that are actually trans actors. But those, you know, look at Laverne Cox, look at everybody, you know, all the best friends in Transparent. It took a cis person to play that queer character to get trans people on the show.
Yes.
You know what I mean? So I think what I was trying to say is like, applause to Tanya for having Eddie on the show, who is actually gender nonconforming, who is playing a lesbian, you know, and then to also have like sensitivity training. To me, the fact that Eddie is queer, that Seth is queer in real life and is playing a queer character, that's a big deal. That's a big deal to
us. It is. It is.
And no shade to actors, because it is acting and you can act like a gay person, because gayness is a social construct in the way that of our mannerisms. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you can't be like, oh, that dude, I've hung out with some gay dudes that I thought were gay, and then I'm like, what? That's your girlfriend. You know what I mean? Like, just because you're feminine, a feminine man, doesn't mean you're gay. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So same with women, you know? So, and who cares? It's not black and white, binary, wada wada la cuchara, okay? But it makes a difference. Like, characters in the show, like I don't know how Emma, how Michelle Prada identifies, like, if she's straight. I don't know if Maria Elena Las is straight in real life. They played their roles really well. But if you know that about the character, it just makes it so much more important. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Because we always talk about visibility, right? Visibility matters. It's good to see those characters on TV. But visibility leads to representation.
Correct.
And like, representation is so important too.
Yes.
So there's another layer to it. Like, it can go deeper. I think that's what that's the statement I was trying to make.
Well, you just did it, girl. And you know, and I like the fact that we have a show that it centers our experiences without, as you said, without being binary. Because when you have that easy binary system, to fall into the tropes of just highlighting the tragedy, it's tragic. Like, it's a mistake. And this show starts with tragedy, but it's not about that. It's not about, I mean, it is about that, but not necessarily. Like, the tragedy is just one element of how fucking complicated the story is. And that's what I like that. But they're able to do this by showing so many different layers. And I'm so happy they got renewed for a second season, because certain things that I still wanted to see, I feel that finally are going to get to develop on the second season. The only thing that I didn't like this show is that they make Boyle Heights look like a pueblito. Like, these girls went to the big city and then came back and they're in a pinche ranchito. Like, come on. Like, we're, like, Boyle Heights is attached to fucking downtown LA. Like, it's a big city. And I don't know, there's like a big contrast.
Town.
Yeah, there's a big contrast between like the two white Latinas that come back to the neighborhood and the rest of the people that are like más chaparritos, más morenitos. And that sort of big line that was drawn in the show made me uncomfortable. And so that would be like my main criticism to, because even though it's trying to show different layers,
you know what,
and different
girl?
People, but at the end of the day, it's further creating differences between white Latinos and non-white Latinos, which, yes, it's about privilege and it's about a white privilege. But I don't know. There's something that just didn't seem right, you know?
I know. But we can't change the world in one day, you know?
I guess.
I don't know. Or am I saying that because that's white supremacy, like, infiltrating the Matrix, you know? Like, because think about, dude, like, let's be real. Think about all the events that we've been part of this last year as Latinos Who Lunch. Let's keep it 100.
Right.
They have been for white Latinos.
Right.
And we are part of that.
Right.
So we need to talk about it. So that's why I was... I didn't want to be confrontational at or say anything
at the panel, yeah,
too much, because first of all, this show is about women and queer women, you know.
Yeah.
So that's the way that it's talked about, and that's the way that I see it a lot too. With Locatora Radio being there, I didn't want to contradict any statements that were made, any arguments, you know.
And nothing problematic was said in the. I don't think.
No. Uh-huh. But I also think, but I know based on the characters that are in the background of the show,
uh-huh.
and based on just seeing who was in the audience, you know, I'm like, they are thinking of that. But the grand scheme of things, it is Hollywood. You know what I mean?
Right. Mm-hmm. And it is a step. Hey. And unfortunately, we should be like what we said in last week's episode with Irene. Shout out Irene Mata. One of the things about Coco is like, I wish this would have happened 20 years ago so we could be move forward these problems. But the reality is that we're not. And it's almost like we're starting over. Like we did a little bit. Nos movimos un poquito in the 90s, right? But it's like we're all the way back. But once again, that's why Vida is such an interesting show, because it seems like it's doing a lot of things that should have been done a long time ago. So if you, again, yeah. if you haven't watched Vida, it's on Stars. We cannot recommend it enough. But seeing Michelle's eyebrows in person, girl.
Melissa's way.
Ay, way. She's fucking beautiful. And those eyebrows, I keep obsessing over the eyebrows on the show. I'm so gay, dude. Like, I was gagging over those fucking eyebrows. Como dices tú, those eyebrows tell a story. So good.
Mm-hmm. Hey, well, they were also beautiful in real life. Like, I couldn't believe it.
And nice. And just, like, chill.
I couldn't believe how nice they were. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I guess I'm used to not being treated so nicely. So I was just prepared for that. But everybody was super nice. And you know what was really cool is you could tell they're, like, close, like they're mm-hmm. a family, you know what I mean?
Yeah, they all look and act like they're really, really good friends, which
yeah
I think it helps for the chemistry of the show, because otherwise it doesn't work.
Yeah, so oh my gosh, so hopefully Locatora Radio is gonna air this as an episode, our uh-huh. whole conversation.
That's awesome.
with the cast of Vida and the creator, so we'll make sure to share that. Mm-hmm. When Locatora Radio shares it. And how cool to share the stage with one of the most iconic LA Latin X podcasts, Locatora Radio.
And again, shout out to Rafa, because when Rafa was presenting us, he said, I believe that the best stories about our community are actually being told through podcasts, not through the yeah. shows in different ways. So for him, having an element of podcasting as part of Latino Film Festival is very important. So hopefully this is the beginning of a long partnership between Podcasterio Network, Latinos Who Launch, and La Leaf. I mean, it's exciting, man.
Yeah, totally. Really cool. Oh my gosh. Oh, shout out to Culture Strike. They were there. There was an art installation at the entrance that was, I think, curated by Julio Salgado.
Mm-hmm.
And then over at the Roosevelt, there was across the street that fancy hotel. There was a lot of musical performances that happened there that were really awesome.
Dude, yo no sé tomar tequila, and that's all they were giving away. So on opening night, there was no beer, so I had tequila y me puse hasta las chanclas. And yes. then on Saturday, there was no beer, so I had tequila again. And in my way back on the lift, mira, güey, todo me daba vueltas. I almost asked the Lyft driver to fucking...
Girl, you missed over. Out. We had so much fun.
I mean, I had a lot of fun, but yeah, like, by the time I left, I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to fall over here. I got to get out of here. I was so, so drunk. Pero tampoco no comí, güey. I'm stupid.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, how old are you? You know you have to eat before you drink, girl.
I don't drink. I drink beer. I can drink and sip beer with or without a stomach full, like, all day. Pero con tequila, I was like, fuck it, it's free. I'm going to do it. And it was a good tequila because I'm not into tequila. So that's what happens.
Well, you know, alcoholism. It's fun. Okay, that's why I didn't black out. Oh my gosh, I drank so much. It was fun. Anyway, should we take a little break and then we'll come back with some listener letters and some recommendations?
Let's do it.
Okay, go for it.
Diddly-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-psh.
Yo, Babelito,
¿Qué
what are you
pedo?
doing?
Ay, pues aquí estoy ocupado adornando mi computadora, putting new stickers
Oh my God, I love the stickers. Where did you get
it. Did you
them?
see those churros? They're not real. They're
Oh my God.
two-dimensional. But I'm gonna tell you where they come from, girl. They come
What?
from Blank Tag. Have you heard of Blank Tag?
Blank tag? Blanktag.co?
That's right. They have all kinds of amazing stickers. They are a small company based in LA. It's Latinx owned and they represent us all. They have a section, for example, in their website just dedicated to comida callejera. Wait,
Oh
you can get a
my
sticker of a
God.
plate of tacos de asada. Like, I feel like I'm.
I am looking at the stickers right now. There is this baby elephant sticker that I am gonna get for Melissa. Oh my God, it's so cute.
My favorite one is the LA Stray Dog sticker. It
What?
it's like a hot dog, but it's filled with all kinds of stuff. If you ever been
Oh,
in
street
LA,
dog.
yes, girl,
I
it's
thought it
so
was like
cool.
Orphan Annie, like Sandy, like a street dog.
No.
Hot dog.
Yes, it's a hot dog with con
Oh,
jalapeño, cebolla, and like we are Latinx, so we fucking put mayonesa, everything, and you can see that in the sticker. Tamale stickers, you name it. All you have to go is just go, all you have to do is just go to blanktag.co. That is blanktag.co, and also make sure to check our Instagram, Latinos Who Lunch, and also Blank Tag Instagram, because we are doing a giveaway once a month, and the next one is coming. So make sure to pay attention and to look at those giveaways. Last month we had a winner. She was very happy. She reposted it, and they're just so generous. So yes, blanktag.co, man.
Oh my God, I'm so hungry. You know what I could use right now?
Let me guess, una sopita de fideo.
Yes, bish! From the original Lindo, Michoacán on Desert Inn in beautiful, sunny, dry Las Vegas.
El otro día me levanté, güey, con unas ganas de una tortuga. I was so hungry.
¿Tortuga de qué?
Tortuga de milanesa, que se me sube a la cabeza. You know, actually, what is my mom's favorite over there?
What?
El menudo, because in Vegas it's so hard to find good menudo, because siempre está bien grasoso. But in
Sí.
Lindo, Michoacán, the original, the one on Desert Inn, they have the best menudo in Las Vegas. Approved by Clementina Rodríguez de Ortega. Ouch!
Okay. Oh my gosh. And you know what's also awesome? They
Yes.
have a bar, obviously, and they have a lot of different drinks. And even if you don't drink alcohol, you can get a mocktail, which is awesome. You can get a virgin piña colada, virgin strawberry daiquiri. I remember when I used to go there as a kid, that's what we would get for our birthdays. So you can live your sober cocktail fantasy there if you'd like. Or blackout or
Your
not.
alcoholic fantasy.
Or just, just keep the cycle going. Anyway, Lindo Michoacán.
Save water, drink margaritas.
All right, y'all. Remember, I am in Portland, Maine, doing a big installation right now. If you want to come on down to Space, down on Congress Street in the Arts District, come on down. The opening of my show, Pólvora, is on July 6th. And then on July 7th, there will be a movie screening of this awesome documentary called Brimstone and Glory about the use of fireworks in Mexico. And I'll be talking about that movie afterwards too. So it's going to be a fun weekend. If you're in the New England area, my friends are going to be here too. So it's probably going to be the most brown people that they've ever seen. So it's going to be lit. Okay. And we're back.
Ay, 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 qué calores, payaso, qué
calores. Oh, you want to read some listener letters?
Let's go for it.
Okay, so our first letter comes from, actually, it's our friend La Comadre. She says, hi, hello, hello, hello. I met you at Podcasterio when I had only listened to you for a couple episodes, and y'all were so sweet and genuine. I got my shit together and went back to the very beginning, and a bitch is caught up. Here's my question for both of you. How do you keep your friendship strong? I think in general, we as a society are always focusing on the maintenance of romantic relationships, but I do not think that enough people talk about friendship maintenance and the personal growth that can come from those relationships. I've found that oftentimes friend breakups are tougher than actual romantic breakups. How do you both find ways to keep each other accountable and still decide to remain homies after? Bueno, pues, thank you both very much for the laughs and all that you do. Sincerely, la self-proclaimed comadre of LWL. Thanks, coma.
Hi, comadre. Really good question. I suck at being a friend, so I'm going to give this one to you because you... Actually, when I met Fabi Fav in Vegas, I had like two friends in Vegas, even though I had been there for 20 years. And it was through Fabi that I get to meet all these amazing people that I feel like I'm going to be friends with for a long time. Like, you're much better at friendships than I do.
Yeah, that's very true. So, it's about communication. And, you know, I have been blessed with some of the most amazing friendships. I don't know. I really consider... Babelito, when we first met, used to make fun of me because I used to be like, oh, this is my best friend from this era of my life, and we used to be roommates and this and that. And he's like, is everybody your best friend and your roommate? And I'm like, yeah. Yes. You know, I have a lot of really close best friends, maybe a group of like, I don't know, 10, 15 that I can really count on. I don't know. I think the reason why those friendships had lasted is because we're just good at communicating, like how much we love each other, and we also like kind of show accountability, like make sure that we have each other's backs, and this, you know, it's all friendship stuff, you know. But mm-hmm. with Babelito and this podcast, I will say it has been difficult at times because I think our definition of friendship is different. Mm-hmm. And I didn't think I would have to explain my expectations, but that's something that I learned really quickly, or not quick enough, I should say, was that like, if you don't actually communicate what you need and like what you're feeling, then it's gonna ruin your friendship.
And it's not gonna work out, yeah.
That is the biggest thing. Please communicate with people.
Especially if people are starting a podcast. Like, yeah, I remember one time somebody asked me, he's like, you guys make it seem so easy. And we're like, oh, no, 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 no. Like,
you guys, this is awful. This whole thing. It's like, it's really hard. It's really hard.
It is.
But every time we do it, we're like, every time we complete an episode and put it out, we're like, okay, this is why we do it.
Yeah.
Like, we love doing it. You know what I mean? But sometimes it's not as fun as it used to be when we first started, and we didn't know how much work it actually took to put out a weekly podcast.
You know? And like, for example, this weekend I had a lecture, and I'm working on and having one of the people from, oh my God, estos pinches perros de repente se agarran y no se paran. Anyway.
Viva México.
Viva! Do you hear that? It's crazy. Anyway, so like I had a lecture with this group of kids that are from, they're in high school in Las Vegas and they're going to college. It was the most amazing lecture I've had. They were woke as fuck. And I remember talking to them about the podcast and the same thing. I was like, oh, this is why we're doing what we're doing, because we get to have this communication with these kids, but because we get to have these conversations with people like that. So it is, at the end, yes, it's a lot of work, yes, it's a lot of communication, but if you do it right, it's very rewarding.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, and every Babelito and I are basically like family now. You know, so it's like we can get really mad at each other, but we know we're always going to have each other's backs. And that's something really special, you know?
Yeah.
So when you get to that point in a relationship with a friend, it's awesome. But at the same time, like, if you didn't have the best upbringing, yeah. You know what I'm realizing? Because therapy uh-huh. is that this is getting really personal, but whatever. I had a very dysfunctional childhood, like uh-huh. in my house. So I had to learn, my parents didn't even sleep in the same room kind of thing,
uh-huh.
you know? So I had to compartmentalize like my feelings for them because they're both my parents, you know?
Oh.
So like I had to be like, okay, even though they don't like each other, I'm in the middle. So I have to like, I guess what I'm saying is like, I realize that I'm really good at compartmentalizing feelings. Mm. So like, So podcast Babelito is different than coffee Babelito, than bar Babelito. You know yeah. what I mean? Like ever since I was little, I've been able to distinguish like, oh, that's drunk dad. And this is regular dad. And this is tired dad. And I had different relationships with each of those people. And so that's what I do to with everybody. So that's why I can remain friends with people that are assholes to me for years because yeah. I'm like, oh, remember that one time they were nice to me? That's what I'm holding on to, you know?
Shit.
When in reality, I'm in a toxic relationship for years.
That's so crazy. And I'm different. Like, I get to have friendships where I put up with shit and I put up with shit and I put up with shit. And then one day, if I yeah. get fed up, I disconnect completely. It's yeah. like I completely
That's what,
ignore everything.
I'm striving to do that.
No, dude, it's not a good thing because I have broken up with relationships of 16 fucking years for that. I can just one day I can turn it off. And it's not good because it should be a process. It shouldn't be a black and white thing.
Yeah.
And it should be work. And I feel like it's my way to not deal with things because I dealt with it for so long. So instead of just yeah. being like, hoy sí, mañana no. It's like, okay, hoy sí, mañana lo mejor no. But let's walk. Let's talk about it. Let's think about why this is becoming a no as supposed to be like, fuck you. So that's the thing that I'm working on.
Yeah.
I mean, and everybody's different. This is why, for example, starting a podcast, it's important to have those things in the forefront because at the beginning it sounds fun. There's so many things going on and there's a need for many voices out there, right? But
yeah.
these are the type of things that we all need to be thinking about before we jump into a big project because we all have great ideas. We all need to be heard. But if we want to be constant and we want to last, these are the type of things that
yeah,
need to be in the foreground.
So I think more specifically, if for people that are friends that are starting a podcast, because we've met a lot of you out there
a lot,
who tell
yes.
us that you've started a podcast, make sure you lay out your expectations for what each person is going to do and what they're going to be a part of. And do that, lay that out at the beginning, because if you don't actually vocalize or write it down, then you're just going to be... the other people are not going to know what you expect them to do. It's so simple, but it's like really that is a big thing because then that leads to resentment and then anger. And then, you know, it's just all about communication. So, and also you need to be honest. And like if somebody's doing a bad job, you need to let them know and then you can grow from there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like a lot of friends that I have, I know are sensitive and like you can't tell them anything. And then they just quit, you know? So, like, you gotta be on both sides. See, you know, like, just have a real conversation about that. I'm really excited to talk about this with this new podcast that's going to come out from Sacramento with those girls that do a therapy podcast. Because they were talking to me about this, too, which is really, really interesting.
I feel like it's almost like when you're roommates with somebody, right? It's like getting into a podcast with a friend is like... becoming somebody's roommate, like if it's your friend and then your roommates, because there's a lot of things that are not said. There's a lot of things that are based in communication, a lot of basic things that if you just talk about it for a second, then you avoid a lot of drama and a lot of problems. So,
well, I mean, every roommate that I've had, I never see them. So that's how I've had the same roommate for 7 years because we never see each other.
Girl, and go ahead.
It's great. It's wonderful. And when we do see each other, it's fun, you know?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because we're catching up,
yeah.
you know?
It's I'm about really cool. to have a roommate for the first time ever.
Bitch, I can't wait for that drama and cum flama. Okay.
No, shut up, Lucy. It's gonna be great. It's
I already
be...
know.
I'm
okay.
I'm also a different person right now. So I feel like if I would have had a roommate in my early 20s, as right now in my 30 fucking whatever, I don't know. Like, there's other priorities. Like, I it's gonna
Yo
be.
Yo me voy a quedar callada. Okay. So, you know what? Maybe we can talk about it really quick. We have another, our friend Erica on Twitter wanted us to talk about the new Beyonce video that came out. Sorry, the Carter video.
Los
Jay-Z.
Carters.
Yeah, Los Carters. So what did you think? Okay, first of all, if you haven't seen it, go watch Ape Shit by the Carters. It's the new Beyonce Jay-Z collab.
One of the things that Erica says is, like, it seems like a lot of people are giving them way too much credit with the Ape Shit video, because this is Beyonce and Jay-Z not only in front of the Mona Lisa, but taking over the whole entire Louvre. And if you know anything about art, this is in the institution, in the white European institution that is art, this is the most important space for them. So
people are giving them too much credit? What do you mean by that?
No, that's what Erica's saying. I'm going to read real quick. He goes, I don't know. This woman seems to be giving a lot of credit, and I don't know how accurate this is. Can you really and possibly discuss? So basically, she's looking at It's Me Heidi on Twitter, _H, and she talks about how there's different parts of the video that represent something very specific and something very art historical. So Erica is basically saying, help me deconstruct this video.
Well, I don't know. Beyonce, she invented the museum. She invented art.
She invented life.
She invented life. Yeah. She owns the Louvre now. That they changed the name, actually. Now it's called Beyonce's Louvre. And that's it. I mean, what else do you need to know?
That's it. So, as always, thank you for listening.
We don't have time to deconstruct it, but that that Twitter post really goes into it, and I love it. So, Babalito will make sure to post that in the links. Mm-hmm. And then, also, what I was gonna say is, Grizzly Kiki, our home girls over in New York. York, they did a whole episode about it.
Oh,
so
nice.
You can listen to it there. Also, The Reed did a whole episode about the whole album.
Wow.
So you can listen to that. In lieu of doing their listener letters, they deconstructed the entire album.
I do have two things to say about that video.
Okay, one.
The first one is that it's so important to have these black bodies in front of this institutionally historical white European artwork, right? Because aesthetics as we know it today are based on one fucking culture, and that's the Greeks, right? So the fact that Beyonce and Jay-Z, in a way, by just their sheer presence in front of these artworks in the Louvre, the most important institution for white Western European art, I mean, it's a big fucking deal. That's one. However, one of the things that I was warned in grad school is not to give paintings the History Channel treatment, not to use them just as background, because at the end of the day, they, I don't know if they only allow them to record in some of these halls, but they basically did all of the recording in four different halls. This is what I noticed from me going to the Louvre a long time ago. One of them is where you have all the 19th century neoclassical paintings. One artist is Jacques-Louis David. Jacques-Louis David, before the French Revolution, was all about the people, and after the French Revolution, he was an imperialist. So you have these paintings that are all about empire as backdrops to a sexy, like, dancing scene.
Yeah, but if you listen to the words and the paintings they paired them to, mm-hmm. it was obvious it's not just a background. The words that they're speaking or they're singing with the outfits they're wearing with the visual of the painting together make a statement. It's
right,
not just
it...
a background.
But at the end of the day, these are imperialist paintings. They're, I mean, it's almost like it's not the same. So people like calm down. But it's almost like doing a video in front of Nazi art. like it's not the same, but it is like in the same family because you're talking about a visual
propaganda
culture.
Art.
Yes, it's a visual culture that is constructed on the supremacy of rich white Europeans, and that's exactly what's happening. So that's kind of like the disconnect that I had. But for example, when they do in the painting in front of the crowning of the wife of
the dancing.
Yes, when they're doing the dancing in front of that painting of the crowning of La Esposa de Napoleon, that was very interesting because Napoleon didn't want to be portrayed by putting himself a crown. Instead, he put the crown on his wife. So that it's like, that is very interesting to see that contrasted with the Carters. So yes, there's a lot of iconography that was, I can tell that there was a lot of attention that was put into this. And again, mm-hmm. The presence of black bodies in those spaces is so important and so necessary. But at the end of the day, I mean, that was just my only complaint. But yes, like the Reed did an amazing episode about that. So listen to them and Grizzly Kiki. And I'll post the link to It's Me Heidi _H because she did an amazing art historical analysis of the video.
Her name's like Queen Curry or something.
Queen Curry?
Oh. I don't know, something like that. Okay, I think we're out of time. Do you want to do quick recommendations or?
I have a quick one.
Dale.
So I'm going to give a shameless plug to my boyfriend's little products that he started. He has this amazing stickers where he's highlighting 13 different non-Frida artist. This is it's called 13 Itai Fridas, and there's just new stickers that came out. There are about they're stickers of Maria Felix, so check it out. He is on Instagram and he's also on Etsy. Again, the number one, the number three, 13, and then Anti Fridas.
Awesome. Okay, I'm also gonna recommend my boyfriend's art.
Hello.
And as always, you can visit us at latinoswholunch.com. You can also send your emails to asklwl@gmail. Oh, that's asklwlpod@gmail.com. If you have a moment, please donate to the podcast. You can go to latinoswholunch.com/donate. There's many ways you can do that. And if you can't do that, then please go on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts and leave us a review. 5 stars.
5 stars only.
Because the more reviews we have, the more visible we are. And
visibility leads to representation, and representation is essential.
Hey! I'm Fabi Fav.
And this is Babelito.
Bye.
Ciao, ciao.